discussing together as you walk along. And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests, our rulers, handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us, and they went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. When they came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive, then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. So then he approached the village to which he was going. Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." And so he went in and stayed with them. And when he was at the table, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Y aquel mismo día, dos de ellos le dirigieron a un pueblo llamado Emaús, a unos kilómetros de Jerusalén. Iban conversando sobre todo lo que había acontecido. Sucedió que mientras hablaban y discutían, Jesús mismo acercó y comenzó a caminar con ellos, pero no lo reconocieron, pues sus ojos estaban velados. "¿Qué vienen discutiendo por el camino?" les preguntó. Se divirtieron cabizados, y uno de ellos, llamado Cleofas, le dijo, "¿Eres tú el único peregrino en Jerusalén que no se ha enterado de todo lo que ha pasado recientemente?" "¿Qué es lo que ha pasado?" les preguntó. "Lo de Jesús de Nazaret. Era un profeta poderoso en obras y en palabras delante de Dios y de todo el pueblo. Los jefes de los sacerdotes y nuestros gobernantes lo entregaron para ser condenado a muerte y lo crucificaron. Pero nosotros abrigamos y la esperanza de que él era que liberará a Israel. Es más, ya hace 3 días que sucedió todo eso. Y también algunas mujeres de nuestro grupo nos dejaron asombrados. Esta mañana muy temprano fueron al sepulcro, pero no hallaron su cuerpo. Y cuando volvieron, nos contaron que se había aparecido unos ángeles quienes le dijeron que él está vivo. Algunos de nuestros compañeros fueron después al sepulcro y le encontraron tal como habían dicho las mujeres, pero a él no lo vieron. "Qué torpes son ustedes," le dijo, "y son tardos de corazón para creer todo lo que han dicho los profetas. ¿Acaso no tenía que sufrir el Cristo estas cosas antes de entrar en su gloria?" Entonces, comenzando por Moisés y todos los profetas, le explicó lo que se refiere a él todas las escrituras. Y al acercarse el pueblo a donde se dirigían, Jesús hizo lo que iba más lejos. Pero ellos insistieron, "Quédate con nosotros, que está atardeciendo, ya es casi de noche." Así que entró para quedarse con ellos. Luego, estando con ellas en la mesa, tomó el pan y lo bendijo. Lo partió y se lo dio. Entonces se lo abrimos los ojos y lo reconocieron, pero él desapareció. Y se decían uno a otro, "¿No ardía nuestro corazón mientras conversaba con nosotros en el camino y nos explicaba las escrituras?" Vamos a orar. Señor, te damos gracias por su palabra. Enséñanos en esta mañana lo que es ser un discípulo, lo que es creer y lo que es, Señor, hacer todo su voluntad en la manera que tú quieres de nosotros. Father God, I want to pray you encourage our hearts this morning as we open your word, and that you would speak to us and that you would encourage us. And so, Father God, I ask that in a special way, you would be with us. Help us, Lord, to be the disciples that you have called us to be. Help us, Lord, not to be discouraged, but to be encouraged. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We've been talking about what the Bible will do for you, what it is that the Word of God will do for you. Y estamos hablando y estudiando lo que la Palabra de Dios es para nosotros y lo que puede hacer en nuestras vidas. Y hoy en día, hermanos, yo quiero platicar acerca del desánimo. I want to talk to you about discouragement. Because discouragement happens to us all the time. Qué fácil es, hermanos, de perder el ánimo por medio de las emociones, por medio de lo que estamos viendo en este mundo. You know, it's very easy for us to be discouraged in our walks with the Lord. Some of us have been Christians for many years, and you're discouraged about what you're seeing in your own life. You're discouraged about what you're seeing in your marriage. You're discouraged about what you're seeing in your homes. Perhaps there might be leaders here in this church who've been working really hard in this church and planning ministry and working ministry to develop leaders, and then you begin to get discouraged when people don't show up. You begin to get discouraged when people don't follow through and do the things that you want them to do, and perhaps as a leader you might be discouraged. Perhaps there might be someone who's discouraged in this church and might be thinking, maybe it's time for me to go find another church. Quizás hay algunos que están tan desanimados y pensando en su propia corazón, yo no tengo ningún ánimo para seguir adelante, quizás es tiempo para mí de salir a otro lugar, buscar otra iglesia. Quizás hay una persona que quiere ser líder, que quiere tomar el llamado, responder al llamado que el Señor y entrar al ministerio y trabajar por el Señor, y quizás con tanto desánimo, las ganas de ir y de salir todavía no existen. So discouragement is a very real thing. And last week we talked about how Satan, the enemy of our souls, wants to discourage us. He wants to trick us. He wants to deceive us. He wants to tell us that everything that we're working for is not important, that our marriage is doomed to failure, that our church is doomed to failure, that everything that we have been called to do is not worth it. Now, that is very, very typical of what the enemy wants to do in our lives. And in this passage of Scripture, we see two disciples. And these two disciples were very, very discouraged. Y la historia, hermanos, el pasaje hoy en día, nos podemos ver esos discípulos tan desanimados. Yo sé, hermano, que es difícil para nosotros, aunque no hemos visto Cristo Jesús en persona, como ellos. Es fácil para nosotros de ser desanimados. Y usted puede imaginar aquellos discípulos en aquel tiempo, ellos trabajaban con el Señor, viajaban con el Señor, caminaban con el Señor. Y ahora, al ver la crucifixión de Cristo Jesús, ellos son tan desanimados. ¿Cómo es las personas que han recibido enseñanza de Cristo Jesús por su propia boca, ahora están desanimados? Can you imagine being there with Jesus, walking with him for 3 years, hearing the sermons in person? You didn't hear a pastor. You heard Jesus preaching, and you saw him doing miracles. It wasn't that things that you heard about, but it was really Jesus himself doing miracles. And then Jesus is taken from you. And you can imagine the discouragement that the disciples feel. Well, discouragement is something that we battle with every day. El desánimo es una batalla por cada uno de nosotros. ¿Sabe por qué? Porque no estamos viendo los resultados que queremos ver. Many times we become very, very discouraged because we're not seeing the desired results. We're not seeing the things happen the way we want them to happen. They're not happening when we think that they are supposed to happen. And so we become very, very discouraged. Now these disciples, if you notice that they're walking on the road to Emmaus, it's a road out to the Mediterranean Sea. It's the road back to where they were called as fishermen. Si ustedes pueden recordar que ellos fueron llamados desde los discípulos de ser pescadores de hombres ahí en el mar de Mediterráneo, y ellos estaban viajando afuera de la ciudad, afuera de Jerusalén, porque ellos no quieren hacer ningún cosa jamás con este llamamiento que ellos han recibido. This is a picture of men who are so discouraged, who feel deceived, who feel let down by Jesus. And they were walking away from Jerusalem, walking away from the field of battle, walking away from the action, and going back to where they used to be, fishermen. Some of you become discouraged in your walk with the Lord, and sometimes you feel like you want to give it up and you want to go back to the city you grew up in, go back to your parents' house, go back to where it was that it all started, because you feel so discouraged, like you cannot go forward anymore. This is the way that these disciples were discouraged. But there is a problem here that I think you and I wrestle with, is that Jesus shows up, and yet Jesus does not disclose himself to them. Hay un problema en esa historia, hermanos, y quizás este problema usted ha batallado también. Que Cristo estaba a su lado, que Cristo se acercó a esos dos discípulos, comenzara a platicar con ellos, pero dice la palabra que ellos estaban desvelados, no podían ver, no pueden entender que fue Cristo Jesús platicando con ellos. ¿Es verdad, hermana? ¿Se molesta poquito? Doesn't that truth just bother you? Isn't there something that just bothers you? It's almost like Jesus is playing with them. It's almost like he's toying with them. It's almost like he's tormenting them, saying, why are you walking away? What happened? What do you feel? What do you think? Where are you going? Those kind of annoying questions that bother us and that hurt us, that is the last thing that the disciples wanted to talk about. And yet Jesus brings it front and center. Las cosas que causan, que son la fuente de nuestro desánimo, son las últimas cosas que queremos platicar, que queremos pensar. Y luego acercó Cristo para comenzar a platicar a esas cosas. It's almost like putting the knife in and twisting it just a little bit more. Where is Jesus? Where are you? What is going on? What are you doing? And so this is what is happening, and this is the scene. Totally discouraged. Our first point today is that discouragement comes from unmet expectations. El desánimo, hermanos, proviene de expectativas insatisfechas. Unmet expectations. Notice this man Cleophas, how he brings up certain things. He says, don't you know these things? What things? He said, Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him, but we had hoped that he would be the one who would restore all things for Israel now. Ellos estaban pidiendo al Señor que Cristo comienza a restaurar el trono de Israel. Que quitaron ese poder romano que estaba encima de ellos. Estaba buscando su libertad. Estaba buscando el reino de Dios. Y ahora se quedan bien desanimados. Como no tenían ningún aliento. It's like a ship with no wind, with no sail, totally discouraged about going forth. And Jesus begins to ask them about these things. You see, discouragement comes from unmet expectations. And you and I have to deal every day with our expectations. Perhaps there is someone here who thought, I thought my marriage was going to turn out better than it is the way it is now. Or perhaps my ministry was going to be better. Or perhaps you might come to the church and say, I thought this church and my experience here was going to be better than it actually was. You become discouraged. And perhaps my personal walk with the Lord, it seemed like when I was down and I was suffering and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, it seemed like everything got worse in my life. My parents didn't want to talk to me. My friends didn't want to talk to me. I lost my job. Y cuando yo acepté Jesucristo, cuando yo invité a Cristo en mi corazón, en mi vida, parece que todo ya está más mal que antes, más peor que antes. Y hay muchas personas, nuevos cristianos, que sienten así. Personas que entran en la iglesia y comienzan a ministrar y ellos descubren que la realidad no es lo que ellos estaban pensando. These are unmet expectations that we all have, and we do that. And when we see young people get married, it's just a matter of time when we say that the honeymoon is over, right? Then because people, they thought that when they met each other and they fell in love, that they were going to get married, and then everything was going to begin to work out. And so their parents are at home watching the clock. Okay, it's going to be any moment, any week now, they're going to realize that the other person they're married to is not perfect. And then you're going to get that knock on the door. Mom, can I move back in? Unmet expectations. Todas esas cosas son naturales cuando se casan las nuevas personas. Ellos muy pronto descubren que la otra persona no está perfecto. Unmet expectations. And this is what the disciples were fighting with. Why is it that Jesus does not disclose himself to him? Esa es la pregunta. Cristo Jesús platicando con ellos y permitiendo que ellos no podían ver su cara ni entender exactamente quién era. Why would Jesus hide his face at perhaps the most difficult, the most challenging times in their life? Remember, these people are walking away from Jerusalem, going back to their old life, going back to where they all began, going back to the party days, going back to the bottle, going back to their days of being a hood, rather than going forward and being a man of God. And on their way back, Jesus doesn't disclose himself, but he walks with them back towards the road on Emmaus. Quizás usted a ver este forma, ese retrato, que ellos están regresando a su pasado, regresando a todo lo que era mal en su vida, y Cristo caminando con ellos a la otra dirección. ¿Qué es porque Cristo está caminando y no estaba mostrando quién era él? Why would not Jesus do that? I mean, doesn't that bother you? It should help. You know, it's like when you're discouraged, the last thing you need God to do is show up and say, yeah, things are pretty bad, aren't they? You know, things are pretty hopeful. Things are hopeless. Things are pretty desolate. That's the last thing that you want to hear from God. But yet Jesus walks with them. You see, discouragement comes from unmet expectations, and God is with us. So then how are we to be encouraged? ¿Qué es la manera que Dios quiere animar nosotros? ¿Sabe qué, hermanos? Tú y yo como cristianos tenemos un futuro en Cristo Jesús. Tenemos los cielos arriba que están esperando nuestra venida. You know, we have heaven. Heaven is waiting for us. It's going to be a beautiful, glorious place. God's blessings are waiting for you and I. You and I have yet to see what God is going to do in our lifetime. Todavía lo que Dios va a hacer por nosotros en nuestra vida, todavía no hemos visto ya. Tenemos un futuro, hermanos. Tenemos un mañana que es brillante, que es perfecto. Y Dios está en nuestro mañana. Hermano, yo lo prometo en acuerdo con la palabra que cada uno de nosotros tenemos una mañana. Es nuestra esperanza. We have a hope. We have a tomorrow. We have a place that we're going. We have blessings that we have yet to see. You thought 2014, 2012 was good. You haven't seen good because it's only going to get gooder. Is that a word? Gooder. It's only going to get better. Hermanos, God has got something for you, but in the meantime, you are sitting and you are discouraged. Ahora mismo, hoy en día, quizás ustedes están tan desanimados y usted está pensando, pues quizás es tiempo para mí de quitar mis fuerzas. Perhaps there might be someone here who just says, hey, it is time for me to get up, to give it all up. Well, what does God want us to do? Jesus comes along, and my second point is this is where we find our encouragement. Encouragement comes when the scriptures clarify our expectations. Hermanos, el ánimo viene cuando las escrituras aclaran nuestras expectativas. See, we have to allow the word of God to paint our tomorrow. We have to let the word of God to explain what is going to happen to us. We need to have the word of God to come into us and to begin to tell us what our tomorrow is like, where are we going, and what God is doing today. Hermanos, necesitamos, hermanos, un punto de vista con las, en acuerdo con las Escrituras. Necesitamos, hermanos, que permitir que las Escrituras explican nuestra mañana. Porque yo sé, hermanos, que hoy en día estás sufriendo. Estás caminando en tinieblas. Estás a veces tropezando cerca de muchas cosas. You know, we're tripping over stuff. We're tripping in the darkness. We're confused. We're hurt. We don't know how to go. And so we have to allow the Scriptures. Notice what happens. Jesus does not reveal himself to them. En primer lugar, Cristo no aclara su mente quién era, no se revela quién era. Pero él responde así, versículo 25, qué torpes son ustedes, les dijo, y son, qué tardos de corazón para creer, mira lo que dice, para creer todo lo que ha dicho las profetas. ¿Y acaso no tenía que sufrir el Cristo cosas de esas antes de entrar su gloria? Entonces, comenzando por Moisés, el Antiguo Testamento, y por todos los profetas le explicó lo que se refiere a él en todas las escrituras. Notice what Jesus says. He doesn't reveal himself to them, but he says this. How foolish you are. How slow to believe the prophets, what they have spoken. Did not the Messiah had to suffer and did before he could enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he began to explain to them what the scriptures were concerning himself. In other words, he took the Bible. He didn't share, I'm Jesus, but he took the Bible. And he said, how foolish you are. Don't you remember reading the scriptures? And he took their face and he put it into the scriptures. And he said, don't you remember that the Messiah must suffer? Don't you remember Moses? What happened to Moses? What happened to the prophets? What happened to your knowledge of the Old Testament? And Jesus, and this is the key, Jesus did not tell who he was, but he simply put his face into the scriptures. Why? Because Jesus will not be with them anymore, but the scriptures will. Hermanos, la realidad es que Cristo no va a quedar aquí en la tierra, pero la escritura sí. Su palabra sí. Hermano, en los tiempos más dificultosos en nuestra vida, y parece que Dios no está con nosotros, no está a nuestro lado, que las cosas de la vida no están sucediendo bien, sí, parece que Dios no está con nosotros, pero las Escrituras sí. Nos podemos tener, hermanos, esta palabra firme en nuestra vida. Y tú y yo, hermanos, necesitamos la palabra del Señor para creer y para seguir adelante. Parece que las circunstancias están mal, están difíciles, pero tenemos todavía, hermanos, la palabra del Señor para ser nuestro guía. You know, this is the word is saying. Jesus could have just said, hey, you know what, don't worry, I'm with you. I was with you in the boat. I'm still with you. But Jesus was preparing to leave. And he said, I'm going to be leaving, but you have the scriptures. So he didn't reveal himself then, but he needed to be in the scriptures. You know, some of you might receive that phone call at 2:00 in the morning from your best friend who thinks that they're going to end their marriage or perhaps even end their life. What do you do? What do you say to them when they feel like God has left them and that their world as they know it is about to end? Well, you do what I would do, is you would ask them to open the scriptures. And you began to read the verses that refresh, the verses that encourage, the promises of God, the promises that we know that God will not lie. And all that you and I can do as Christians is point people to the scriptures. That's why you and I need to know the scriptures. Por esta razón, hermanos, es tan importante que sabemos la palabra del Señor, que memorizamos la palabra del Señor, porque algún día, muy en la madrugada, va a sonar nuestro teléfono con una persona, quizás tiene deseo de quitar su propia vida, quitar su matrimonio, y la única cosa que nos podemos hacer como cristianos es mostrar a ellos ciertas versículos, ciertas escrituras, porque la palabra de Dios, hermano, es firme. La palabra de Dios, hermanos, son promesas para nosotros en que nos podemos confiar. And so the word of God is for us to trust, it's for us to read, it's for us to believe. And the last thing that Jesus wanted his disciples to know, it was that it was him with them. What he wanted them to know is that they can always turn to the scriptures for hope, for encouragement, for truth, and for their tomorrow. The word of God was given to us, hermanos, so that way we could have a tomorrow in the midst of our most difficult days. See, the encouragement comes when scriptures clarify our expectations. And thirdly, hermanos, encouragement comes when we view God's reality in light of the scriptures. El ánimo llega cuando vemos la realidad de Dios por medio de las escrituras. Entonces, hermanos, se quedaron Cristo con ellos por la noche y durante este tiempo, él comenzó a hablar con ellos y ellos tenían cena juntos. Y en medio de la cena, cuando él tomó pan, es como los ojos de su alma se abrió. Y ellos descubrió quizás por primera vez que era Cristo que estaba hablando. ¿Y qué sucedió cuando Cristo estaba delante de ellos y ellos reconoció que Cristo inmediatamente se fue? Se fue. As soon as they realized that it was Jesus talking to them, Jesus left them immediately. And then they looked to each other and they said something that was really intriguing here in verse 32. He says, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and he opened the scriptures to us?" Dice algo interesante y al fin decide, ¿no arde nuestro corazón mientras conversaba con nosotros en el camino y nos explicaba las escrituras? Hermanos, when the word of God is open to you and it is explained to you, and you begin to see all of the Old Testament open up into the reality, it's almost like you're reading the newspaper. You read it and you see, wow, look at what God is doing. When you begin to read the New Testament and you see the things that Jesus taught us and you begin to read it and you take it and you claim it and you understand it and you begin walking it and you feel a power and you feel a strength and you feel a presence of God in your life and you feel like you have a tomorrow, this is the experience that they had. See, Jesus was leaving, but he was bringing the scriptures to the forefront of their lives. You know, many of us, you might have a favorite pastor. You might have a great Bible teacher who helped you and encouraged you. You might have someone, someone on the radio that you used to listen to and really, really encouraged you. And then perhaps that person might die, or perhaps that pastor might leave the church, or perhaps things happen in your life that you lose touch with that person. Do you know that that person might leave you, but it's the same Jesus that we still serve? And perhaps Jesus is moving that person out of your life so that way you might be able to stand up on your own two feet and that you might be able to help someone else and be the blessing that that person was in your life. Quizás por esa persona que el Señor mandó para enseñar la palabra y es tiempo para ellos de salir de su vida y ustedes están con una depresión profunda porque ahora no tienen su amigo, no tienen su maestro de la Biblia. Ustedes todavía tienen el mismo Dios, el mismo Escrituras, y quizás es tiempo para ustedes de enseñar a otra persona la manera que tú has recibido la enseñanza de esa persona. And so this is what happens, is Jesus is saying, I'm stepping out, but I want you to remain in my word. The Bible, it says that the word of God never changes. The Bible says that the word of God is true. The Bible says that in the word of God there is no contradictions. The Bible says that the Bible was given to us in the Old Testament so that way we might know how to believe and that in the future that we might have hope. Jesus wants to show us the connection between what God did in the Old Testament and what he is doing now. And when you and I start understanding what he is doing now, that's when our hearts become very, very encouraged. See, God does not want us to replace anything but the word. God wants, Dios desea que la palabra del Señor sea número uno en nuestra vida. No una experiencia, no una tradición. No unas historias, no unas fábulas, no otras cosas que la gente está diciendo. Oh, ni tampoco ninguna tradición. You know, this past week, the Catholic Church celebrated Ash Wednesday, and one of my kids asked me, Pastor, how come we don't celebrate that? Well, number one, it's not in the scriptures. Hermanos, es día de miércoles de ceniza. No está en las escrituras. Y no estamos haciendo la práctica de eso, porque no está en las escrituras. Por ahí ciertas personas dicen, bueno, cuando yo lo hago, pues yo siento, pues me siento bien de continuar en esta tradición. Hermanos, es una tradición. Y la tradición, hermanos, no puede llegar con la tradición un arder de corazón cuando uno se abra las escrituras. No se pueden comparar, hermanos, una experiencia de leer la palabra del Señor, de ver Cristo en las páginas. Hermanos, no necesitamos ninguna traducción para recordarles de la presencia de Cristo Jesús. So these are traditions that happen, and people look at traditions. And then they think, well, it's the traditions that should cause our heart to burn. It's just that feeling, that excitement. Hermanos, traditions will let you down. The places of God, if this whole building were to fall apart, hermanos, we would still have the Word of God. We would still have that experience of coming before the Lord and reading God's Word and knowing Jesus. It's great that we have a building. It's great that we have a place. But hermanos, God wants your heart in the Word of God. Hermanos, y no le importa la iglesia, el templo, lo que quiere es que el Señor quiere que sea en nuestro corazón involucrados con las Escrituras. No hay ningún lugar, no hay ninguna tradición que pueden comparar con una experiencia cuando uno se entiende la palabra del Señor. There's no other experience. I remember when I went to Israel, and I thought, man, this is going to be great. I'm going to walk where Jesus walked. Así dice, cuando tú vas a Israel, usted puede caminar donde Cristo caminaba. Yo recuerdo, yo estaba al lado del mar de Galilea. I was standing among the Galilean Sea, and I got to the Galilean Sea. I looked around at the lake, and I just saw there's just the beauty of the sea and the lake, and I thought, wow, this is where it all happened. This is where Jesus walked. This is where Jesus did his miracles. And I remember I went and I sat down at the Sea of Galilee. I found a rock and I sat down and I began to look. And I began to say, Lord, talk to me. What is it that you want me to hear? Y ahí sentaba yo sobre una roca grande y me sentí. Y pedí al Señor, Señor, háblame. Yo quiero ver qué es la... En este lugar, ¿qué es lo que tú quieres decir a mí? So I sat there. And I began to feel something. And it was my bottom sitting on that hard rock. Hermanos, you don't have to go to the Sea of Galilee to sit on a rock. Hermanos, we have the scriptures. Hermanos, tenemos las escrituras aquí, hermanos, donde salía a la tierra santa de Israel, hermanos. No le importa, hermanos. Dios quiere hablar contigo por medio de su palabra, por medio de la escritura. That's what God wants. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants you to believe. And when you sit down with the Word of God and you begin to read and you be asking God, what is it that you want to do in my life? Your heart will begin to burn. Because now he has you at the place that he wants you to be. Y el Señor quiere tomar su corazón conforme con las escrituras, hermanos. No estamos hablando de tradición ni lugares santos. No existen, hermanos. Solo la escritura. Hay muchas historias, hermanos, en la historia de la iglesia, la historia de cristianismo. Había un gran pleito entre la iglesia católica. There was a big fight, and right about 1100 A.D., within the Catholic Church, when the printing press was invented, and the Word of God was printed for the first time. En el año 1100, en ese área, en 1100, había la escritura. Por primera vez, ellos tienen las escrituras imprimidas por primera vez, y ellos comenzaron a leer la escritura en inglés. Y esa Biblia se llama la Biblia Tyndale. And there was a man by the name of Tyndale who took the Bible, translated it to English, and he printed it. and he began passing it out to all the people. And it was during that period of time that people began to read the scriptures for the first time, and they began to leave the Catholic Church, and they left the authority of the church, and they left the authority of the Pope, and they left the authority of tradition behind, and they began to open the Word of God by themselves, and they began to read. And it was a time of intense persecution. Tyndale himself was put to death because he would dare to translate the Latin Bible into English so that common people could begin to read the scriptures. En aquel día, cuando comenzaron a leer en su propio lenguaje, en inglés, salieron muchas personas de la Iglesia Católica, sacerdotes, obispos, ellos todos salieron para leer la Escritura y formar grupos. Grupos de cristianos. Fue un movimiento grande y fue un gran abierto el movimiento del Espíritu Santo por medio de las Escrituras. Y muchos de ellos, hermanos, por medio de este pasaje en Lucas, cuando hablan de las Escrituras y la manera que Dios habla a nosotros directamente por las Escrituras, no por iglesias ni tampoco por tradición, comenzó un gran pleito, se llama Reformación. La Reforma. And from that movement came the Reformation, and it was an upheaval of political and spiritual movement that happened throughout the world. And because of religious freedom and people's desire to know the Word of God and follow the Word of God, the United States was born. Esta nación, este país, Estados Unidos, fue formado por personas cristianos que entendieron que nuestra autoridad es basada sobre la palabra de Dios y no por ninguna iglesia ni otra autoridad humana. And so these people set out in discovery of the Word of God to serve and to work in the Word of God. You and I have a history of tradition of people who desired to read and study the Word of God in their own language and to lead their houses, to lead their churches, and to lead God's people in according to the Scripture and the Word of the Lord. That's our tradition. That's where we come from. That's where you and I are born. That's what you and I were called to do, and that's what you and I were meant to be, students of the Scripture, people who hear God's voice through the Scripture. Somos las personas que han sido llamados, hermanos, de estudiar la palabra del Señor, de predicar la palabra y compartir la palabra del Señor con otras personas. Estamos, hermanos, en punto de un gran movimiento alrededor de este mundo. Y Dios está buscando personas que quieren cometer toda su vida a ese llamado de leer, entender y enseñar la palabra del Señor. Quizás el Señor está llamando a ustedes. Qué lindo es de ver las voces de nuestros niños aquí cantando. Quizás algún día ellos pueden ser predicador o esposa de pastor. Quizás ellos pueden ser las personas que Dios quiere mover, usar para abrir y comenzar un grande movimiento, un movimiento que no hemos visto en los Estados Unidos antes. You know, that's the kind of faith that you and I have to be. That we've got to be the people of the Word who live the Word, who love the Word, who study the Word, and who put the Word into practice. And who begin to influence and call men and women to serve the Lord, the Scriptures. There's a lot that we can say about this, but I want to encourage your heart today, hermanos. If you are discouraged today, take heart. The Lord is with you. If you're discouraged in your marriage, if you're discouraged in your ministry, if you're discouraged in your job and what God is calling you to do, perhaps you thought that things would be a lot easier and things would be a lot better. They've gotten a lot harder and a lot more difficult in your life. You need to open the scriptures and see what God does in the midst of difficult circumstances and situations. Quizás ustedes están a punto de quitar. Quizás alguien que está aquí, que está a fin de su lado, que a fin de su esperanza. Estén para nosotros, hermanos, de abrir la escritura y ver lo que Dios quiere decir a nosotros. It's time for us to look at the scripture, to encourage ourselves, to be an encourager of others, to know the word of God and to share it, and to share it with our co-workers and with our friends and with our families and with our spouses and with our children. When people go through difficult times, they need you and I to be there to open the scriptures. And I pray, hermanos, that in the days ahead, in the challenging times, that you would learn to open the scriptures
and to begin reading for yourself and allow God to minister to your heart. Quizás ustedes en los días delante, hermanos, de nosotros, en los tiempos difíciles, quizás ustedes sean las personas de abrir la Escritura, de leer y confiar en el Señor, porque es todo lo que el Señor nos ha dejado, su palabra. Vamos a orar. Señor, te damos gracias, Señor, por tu palabra que nos anime. Su Espíritu Santo, Señor, que nos dirige, Señor, a abrir la palabra. Gracias, Señor, porque tú no nos has dejado solos, Señor, pero tenemos, Señor, su palabra para confiar. So, Lord, I want to pray, Lord, that this morning there be someone here who's discouraged, that they might open your word. They might see what you have done. They might consider, Lord, what you have done and what you're going to do. And Father God, I pray that you would receive the glory and the honor. Help us, Lord, to be men and women of faith. Help us, Lord, to follow you in the midst of all the difficult circumstances and the things, the trials, Lord, that we go through. And Father God, I pray